After all that.
Talk Shoe. Recorded live.
Welcome to the 17th of April, 2012. This is 42 Minutes, where we discuss synchronicity and how it relates to the answers of life, the universe, and everything. This is Will and Doug, and today at... Well, let me start off by saying that in this show, we don't necessarily stick to what you would call individuals. We try to give everybody the opportunity to speak what their ideas of sync are. And the reason I say this is because I'm very interested in this individual named Tim Murphy's videos, and I was trying to show them to certain individuals, friends that I have in sync, and everybody about halfway through the video would say in a very funny way, they would go, "Who is this guy?" So, Tim, the answer is, who is Tim Murphy? Please introduce us to him.
Geez, I don't know, man. That's a tough question. Just trying to be me. I'm experiencing the world and kind of relating that as an experience. So that's about all I could say.
So what part of the world are you in?
What's that?
What part of the world are you in?
I'm up in Minnesota, a little bit out of Minneapolis in the suburbs.
And then what was your initiation into the world of sync? How did you get into this and start mixing with the various individuals that end up on 42 Minutes?
Oh, geez. Well, I had come across some videos on YouTube that were extremely intriguing. I've always been a conspiracy-oriented person, and I found a lot of truth and relevancy in those videos, and those happened to be Jake and Steve's videos. And I guess I'd always been interested in sync and didn't really know synchromysticism until I had seen those videos or what that pertained to, or synchronicity quite. I was always kind of considered them coincidences, and that experience really started in the late 90s, and I'd be writing poetry, and you know, I'd be watching television or listening to music at the same time, and as I would write a word, you know, that word would be said, and you know, I just started noticing these things, or simple things like you know, I was just thinking of you when you called, and that kind of thing. And then as I, you know, kind of through the, you know, 2000s and kind of evolved, I started keeping a what I call the coincidence book. Like I would, you know, anytime strange coincidences, and you know, I kind of try to, you know, stay, you know, kind of, you know, really strict about what I would consider a coincidence. So I would kind of try to be scientific about it. But, you know, if three or more in a day would be quite considerable. So I would record that. So and then that really took off after I saw some videos on YouTube and really thought, wow, you know, I've had some things and seen some things. And once I got a better understanding of symbolism and learned more and tried to study, I just started noticing things and thought I would love to share this, especially with the people who are interested in it. So I guess that's about it.
Okay. Do you have a blog at all?
No, I don't. I'm actually mildly dyslexic, so it's really hard for me to really write and express myself through words and stuff. So I can read really well, but spelling is kind of an issue. So I guess I've never been diagnosed, but so it's kind of weird, you know. I'm kind of insecure about it, so I don't really type or write and, you know, too much in text. So.
I'm curious about this logbook or your synchronicity journal. How extensive is it at this point? Is it several books?
I've actually stopped. It was something I kind of, once I, you know, kind of got a better grasp on it, I was like, poof, that was out the window. I just kind of, you know, just took it in. You know, I didn't have to record it. It was something I didn't have to prove to myself anymore. I just knew it existed. So
I mean, I'm interested in the concept. You said you're very conspiratorially minded. Which, I mean, it's been a gateway for a lot of us into this realm of synchronicity that we're involved in. Well, do you think you could express what you think the relationship between synchronicity and conspiracy is?
Yeah, I'm not sure. I guess in the beginning when I started to see it a lot in media and movies, I guess it was more like this is some sort of Illuminati conspiracy and, you know, some of these things are obviously predictive programming and that kind of thing. But then, you know, as I opened up to it more and noticed it just everywhere that, you know, maybe there's something more going on to it and it wasn't just a conspiracy factor. So I, you know, kind of loosened my restrictions on what it was all about. But yeah, I'm still very much, I'm you know, there's things everywhere. I've got an idea and conspiracy going on. You know, I'm kind of, you know, I joke, you know, I'm kind of like, you know, paranoid, but it's more of a, what was that?
I was just laughing, but what I was, okay, so we I asked you if you had a blog, but I know that you have a video channel. Could you tell us where to find your videos real quick? This is going to be kind of a special, cool, new thing that we're experimenting with. So I'm going to ask everybody who's listening to follow the directions that Tim gives you at this point, and we're actually going to take a trip to YouTube and watch his videos and talk about them with the volume off. So, Tim, go ahead, please.
Yeah, you go to YouTube at Index 6 is the channel name, and it's Esoteric Studios, and that's about the best way. I mean, it's kind of hard to find me, but that's the one place, so, or Facebook.
Index 6 as the channel, correct?
Correct.
So here's the URL, www.youtube.com/user/index6.
Okay. User
that will...
/index6, correct?
INDEX, the numeral 6.
Damn, got it. Fantastic. Here in Loathing, let's see. How many videos? You have 5 videos, correct?
Correct.
Right.
And I apologize. They're very low-tech, lo-fi, whatever you want to call them.
Fuck
that. This is what I call guerrilla synchromysticism. This is the freaking future, man.
Well, the curiosity to me...
Go ahead, John. Go ahead.
So, it's interesting because you're not doing any editing with any equipment. You're doing it all with your head, and then the camera. It's like, so how much of a story do you have ready to go before you start filming your clips? Because the editing is happening. It's kind of punk rock what you're doing.
Thanks, man. Kind of DIY for sure. Hello? What was that?
Yeah.
No. What I was going to ask, I mean, you're DDRing this stuff, right? Is that what's going on? You're loading it up with your DDR and you're kind of setting it up that way and then you're filming it as you watch it?
No, actually, I'm using just a digital camera with a recording device on it, and I'm just recording the television, the computer, whatever I have, and then I upload it onto my computer and I edit it with Windows Movie Maker. So
okay,
I do some cutting and transitions.
Okay.
You are cutting.
That's crazy.
Some.
It is crazy. This is how you had to make a movie when I was a kid, because you had a VHS camera, right?
Yeah.
And you had to hope that the next take was perfect because you couldn't go back. I mean, so you could redo the take, but once you moved on, you know, it's like a linear process.
Right. Yeah, and for sure, I do, I'll record some, like, well, I've got audio level problems, so sometimes I'll record a bunch of the same clip over and over, I'll pause and rewind and things like that, so, and then I'll upload a couple versions and I'll take the best one and put it in.
In your head, do you have it all worked out in your head before you even start filming, or has there been occasions where you're like, you know, you're filming about Yogi Bear because you saw it, and you're filming The Great Outdoors, and then all of a sudden... Like, while you're in the middle of your video, you catch something on TV, and you're like, holy crap, that fits perfect, and add some serendipitously.
Sometimes, a lot of times, it's more like I'm sitting on an idea for a long time. Like, I guess, I don't know if you want to get into the bulls and bears yet, but, I mean,
well, okay.
Since
you mentioned bulls and bears, everybody who's listening, hit bulls and bears, and hit pause, and let it buffer while... We're conversating about this, so we don't have any herky-jerky while we're talking about it. But we're definitely going to watch Bulls and Bears here in a second and turn the volume down. But go ahead and bring it up on your computer so you have time to let it buffer. Go ahead, Tim.
Okay, yeah, it was an idea. I want to say, I guess I could just come out with it, that it was, I'm just seeing like, oh, man, I don't want to sound pretentious or even like egotistical, but I start seeing patterns in, you know, what's coming prior in sort of movies that come out, you know, and I just started around 08 noticing a lot of bull and bear symbolism, and I really didn't have a grasp. I'm like, what is with this? You know, I'm like, what's bull symbolism, you know, and I Googled it, and I just come across a thing talking about bulls and bears in the stock market. And I just, you know, I was like, weird, you know, I just kept reading, and it was going to be 2010, the year of the bear, something that somebody was writing about, and I was just, you know, and then I'd watched one of Steve's videos that he did on Polaris, or I can't remember, it's been so long, it was a few years ago now, so
yeah,
I did it on
Ursa Major, a bear video on Ursa Major that involved the Golden Compass. Is that the one you're talking about?
Yeah, exactly. So I just started, like, and I just started noticing it, like, heavily, like, television, commercials, you know, anything, just anything. I started seeing it, and then I started seeing the relationship between money and the bull and the bear. And I just sat on the idea for a long time, and, like, some of those clips, like, movies I use, like, Paint Your Wagon is just an obscure Western that even The Simpsons make fun of, you know, and it's something that I've watched ever since I was a kid with my father. I had such a relationship with cinema and my dad. We would sit and watch movies constantly. I'd be up all night with him watching movies. I'd be late for school, and we have this game where we'll recite, like, lines from movies and guess what movie that's from. So this movie's been a part of my life for so long, and once I made that connection of Bull and Bears, and that movie is all about them digging for gold, and the whole town collapses at the end of the movie, and they have a bull and bear fight as the town collapses, and I'm like, oh my God, it was right in my face, you know. And I wanted to know, I mean, was that a conscious effort from the filmmaker, the writers? I mean, did they consciously do that? I mean, I would love to know.
Because my family had the same game. We used to sit around and give quotes, and everybody would go, oh, that's from Abyss or whatever. And not only that, but Dad once took me to see Paint the Wagon, or, you know, Paint Your Wagon or whatever it was called, and that was the only movie where once it ended, our dad made us stay in the seat until it came on again, and I watched it twice.
Wow, that's interesting. That's very interesting. I was actually having some syncs with some of what Will wrote, what you wrote in the sync book, where you talk about houses burning. I mean, that's a big part of my life. My mother, brother, and sister died in an arson fire, a structure fire that killed half of my family, and I lived through that thanks to my mother saving me, and it just hit home. And you talked about being an animator for Disney, and that's what I used to want to do so bad, and art is a big part of my life, and I paint, and so I've had a lot of syncs with other sync people, and I feel like I'm psychically connected to some of you, as crazy and schizophrenic as that sounds. Like, I feel like some of you are doing work, and I'm, like, getting hints of that work before it comes out. Like, I was even thinking, how are they going to, like, parlay into something that they could do this for, their lives, their careers, you know? How do you live and do what you want to do and do what you love, and more than that, just share all this? And, you know, the books and, you know, how do you – and some of this material that we're all talking about is copywritten, you know? It's like, how do we express this in a format without, you know – so, I mean, just books, and I would love to see a conference. Oh, man, I'd love to be a part of a conference that talked about sync and just...
Funny you should mention that.
When I was watching Bulls and Bears, I was thinking about that because, you know, this has a lot to do with Dan Aykroyd. Dan Aykroyd was actually, he's actually a very conspiracy-minded individual.
Yep.
I mean, he played Mother... Uh-oh. That movie Sneakers, where he's mentioning all kinds of conspiracies, but he's also a major contributor to MUFON, the Mutual UFO Researchers. Well, I mean, if you go on MUFON's head page, which is actually based here in Colorado up in Morrison, where Red Rocks is, he gives them a great deal of money because he's very interested in the research for UFOs. So, like, I just had this image of you being able to present this stuff to... you know, Dan Aykroyd, and see what he thought about it.
I would love to. I mean, that would be amazing. I mean, just get his view. I mean, he does two movies where he shapeshifts as well, if you've ever seen The Twilight Zone, and then in Ghostbusters 2, you know, as you see his real face underneath him, you know? I mean, that just that's a joke more. I joke around a lot with Sync, but... And, yeah, he even put out a vodka with the Crystal Skulls. You can probably find that online. It's a distilled in... way into that stuff. I watched an interview on CNN where he was talking about, I think maybe Stephen Hawking was involved in it, and he kept getting cut off. You know, it's kind of interesting, like technical difficulties kind of thing. So
yeah.
And he's also, if you've ever seen the movie, Dragnet with Tom Hanks, they actually go to a Bohemian Grove style pagan ritual. I mean, it's It's very interesting. And you just see Tom Hanks' career.
When he comes out of Coneheads, one of the first scenes, he comes out of Coneheads and there's the WTC. Like, he comes out of the water and there's the WTC in the background.
Okay, yeah. Yep. It's very interesting. It's very...
Indeed. Okay, so...
Before we go on, because you mentioned the idea of a conference, and I'm always, like, selling, I'm, like, peddling Think on the side, like, write a book or buy the Think book, or... there is a conference coming together, it seems like this summer in July. I think it's going to be really, really low key, but I, as far as what is possible and what's available and everything, I think people are coming to Boise this summer, and if that happens, you know, it might be interesting to have some kind of something, you know, where we set up a camera and people give presentations and we just kind of explore different topics in person. And so if you're interested, Tim, you know, I'm not saying anything's happening yet, but I'm saying there's a possibility. And so I know the place and the time. And so oftentimes it's hard to plan around synchronicity, but just in case, you know, you're interested, it looks like it's going to be somewhere towards the end of July. There's going to be a bunch of freaks descending on Boise, and we might take over a bookstore one afternoon, and we might, you know, sign copies of the Think book, and we might also go somewhere and turn on a camera and just, you know, explore the craziness of our interaction. Like what you said, where you feel a connection to people you don't know. I felt that too. And then also it seems like other people are doing my research. And so it's like, okay, I don't have to do this work. I've got Jason. He's exploring this. I throw him some kernels every now and again. And then, I mean, it's his research, but it's also my research. I feel the same way with David Plate, where it seems like he and Jason are exploring this Persephone theme, Marilyn Monroe. It's awesome. So I just wanted to put that out there, that there might be something happening in Boise this summer in July. So,
oh, that would be very interesting, and I'll keep my ears open.
Okay.
And I'd love to be a part of something like that. Absolutely. I love sharing, expressing ideas with others. I'm very isolated where I am, and being able to connect with others who are interested in this would be amazing. So.
Well, Will's only 12 hours away, and I say this because if something's happening, I'm going to have...
It, but that's very interesting because I got my Winnipeg fund ripped out from under me recently. So,
well, 12 hours is a long car trip, but it's not unreasonable for you, you know, to travel from
the mile high. We're digressing. How much time we got left, Doug?
We got lots of time.
Okay, and bring up your bulls and bears. Everybody, bring up your bulls and bears. Yo. On Index 6 YouTube channel, and on the Lions Third War, we are going to press play. We're going to do
Lions
this
third
side of the rainbow style. So on number three, let's do this.
You have
could I make a little statement quick?
Yes.
Okay. I also wanted to make a connection that I don't make in the movie. With the whole when I started feeling the vibes for the bulls and bears, it was a lot along the time when we were having the economic recession in the United States, and Obama was taking over, and Obama coming from Chicago and their three sports teams, the Bulls, Bears, and the Cubs. So I was really feeling this, and now you have the whole Occupy movement. So I think a point I was trying to make with that is that it seems we get these vibrations through our media that kind of precede what's to come, sort of like tremors before an earthquake. And I just...
Yes, indeed. The great point is Titanic. We talk about it often, but the Titanic, there was a book written about the boat, the Titan, that was unsinkable, sinking 2 years before Titanic actually happened. So there's definitely a reverberation, but stuff that is as important as OWS, we're going to see in the media before it happens, for sure.
Interesting, yes.
Okay.
I'm curious about your lion roar. What are you talking about? Do you actually have a sound cue now?
No. If you watch, remember how we were talking about the dark side of the rainbow? The cue Pink Floyd to the Wizard of Oz after the relying roars for the third time. It was just a personal joke. We're trying to sync this up. So on the count of three, you ready? Ready? Everybody ready? One, two, three.
All right.
Bulls and bears sync. Vibrations of the crash. Very interesting. Okay, I see what you're saying. I didn't notice that before, Tim, but I get it now. Outdoors. See, this is interesting because this is an older movie, right? I mean, this is...
Right. It came out in 88, so you can... around 87 in the United States as well, we also had a crisis recession. And that's right before Wall Street came out right before that, too. So you can tell they already had Wall Street, the first movie, in the can before that came out as well. And The Great Outdoors, there's a lot of things that I don't explain in this video, like The Great Outdoors, why I'm even... Some people think, it's just Dan Aykroyd and the bear and the water skiing thing that I'm talking about. But if you've actually seen the movie, he's a Wall Street guy on the stock exchange, and he loses everything, and he goes up to the woods to take advantage of his brother-in-law, John Candy. And
I forgot about that. Dan Aykroyd, that's why he's up there, is because he's not worth anything.
Yeah, and he's acting like he's still got the money, he's got the bucks, and then the whole running theme throughout the movie is the bear. You know, the bear's coming to get him, and bears make money on the way down, and bulls make it on the way up, or you could... Imagine as the bull comes and tears the market, or the bear comes and tears the market up, and the bull pulls it forward, you know, so.
Now we're watching Yogi Bear with Dan Aykroyd as Yogi, where they shoot the bullseye, oddly enough. And that stars Justin Timberlake, who did the In Time movie, where time is money.
Yeah, there you go, yeah, sure.
So, and yeah, that was just something. Boo-Boo is just, Mr. JT is Boo-Boo, and then Yogi is Dan Aykroyd.
Yep.
Now we're looking at the water ski incidents, and you make some comments about currency, the flow.
Yeah, water flow and cash flow and the whole it seems to be related to money. And, you know, Jordan Maxwell has that's the thing where he talks about, you know, what's on each side of a river, a bank, what does a bank do? It controls the currency, the cash flow, you know. So.
When we're talking about the premise of The Great Outdoors, I started thinking about Eddie Murphy Trading Places.
Okay, yeah, it's been a while since I've seen it. Right, and that's a money issue too, isn't it?
Yeah,
right.
Specifically stock market with Dan Aykroyd.
Oh, okay. All right.
Oh, Dan Aykroyd's in that. Is
Dan Aykroyd and Eddie Murphy switch places. They make Eddie Murphy the star in the stock market, and then they make Dan Aykroyd homeless.
Yes, you're right. That's a great connection. He's resonating with the bear again, you know?
I like the fact that Dan Aykroyd's driving the boat in the Great Outdoors. And the fact when he takes John Candy off the ramp, how it leaves the burn marks, because that's kind of like, you know, the fire issue with Yogi is there, too. He's twirling that fire to set off the fireworks.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I didn't think of that. That's an interesting connection. I would love to see, you know, like if I had actually synced anything in my videos, you know, or if something I put in has something to do with something else, I'd love to make a multi-contextual art piece like that, you know?
I think the multi-contextual art piece is happening as we speak, I think.
Thanks, man.
I can see into the mind of Mr. Morgan.
Well, you know me too well, though. You know me too well.
I know.
Though, the fact that, you know, Dan Aykroyd's being pulled as the bear, and then he's pulling the bear of John Candy and the other, that's really weird.
Isn't it? Like, did the directors know this? Did the actor know, like, hey, I did The Great Outdoors. I mean, this was a water skiing scene, too, you know? And do they make that connect? And there's a part coming up where I get a big kick out of. It's kind of hard to hear, but not this. What part are we at? I'm kind of behind, I think.
We're they're showing Boo Boo right now.
Right.
Okay.
405, 406 in.
Okay, I'm gonna. Okay.
I think we're in sync, Will.
Awesome. Yeah, I like the fireworks too, because a lot of times the apocalypse is often symbolized by fireworks. So the end. The fact that the crash is caused by the fireworks is important to me.
Okay.
boom, and the fireworks go off.
And then this next clip is what I get a lot of kick out of, is where John Candy actually says, you know, Yogi and Boo Boo in the flesh, and wish the Hell Ranger Smith would get out here.
Okay, now you have this little clip right here about Family Guy. What's this all about?
Oh, yeah, this is Cleveland. And this show came out right around, I mean, this is around the time of 08, I believe it was. And if you can see, if you stop that, he's talking to his neighbor, the bear, and then a bull pops out and jumps on him in the clip. I mean, you can look on Fox, that's the advertisement for the show. And then I put a clip in of Joseph Campbell talking about the bull sacrifice.
Right.
And that's a little bit of a conspiratorial thing on my part that, you know, maybe there's some people that want to see a collapse in the market, you know, and, you know, that the bull sacrifice bringing about, you know, a new beginning after it's over, you know. And
it's very possible. Brewster's Million, he's on a baseball team called the Bulls.
Yeah. No, I think it is. Yeah, they're just showing that right now. Yep, and his jersey's got the bull on it. And then through the whole movie, he's wearing the Cubs jersey. And he puts that back on after he loses all or spends all the money. You know, he's back to the bear again instead of the bull, where he was playing the Yankees before. I think it was the Yankees. In their game.
Of course, that movie stars John Candy as well, so John Candy
yep.
was a big bear, and then he would be the baby bear.
Yeah, there you go.
That's crazy.
It's very interesting.
Also, the relationship of the black man and the in Trading Places, which would be a great movie for you to see, because I guarantee you see something in there that's interesting.
Right. I've seen it. It's been a long time. I can't recall it. It's not one of those movies that I watch quite consistently, so it's been
a while. There's another movie that's flashing to me. Is that it's the weird one. I think it's Aykroyd and Candy, where Dan Aykroyd plays a judge or something, and John Candy goes – it's like
Bad Things or something. It's Very Bad Things or not Very Bad Things, but – Bad Business or...
Wait a minute. What movie are we... Where he plays like there's like an evil judge and there's like these two kind of mongoloid type brothers that...
Yeah.
I mean, all right. I know the movie you're talking about.
Tupac's in that.
Yeah, the Digital Underground, right?
Right. Now we're looking at Paint Your Wagon with all the pennants, which is interesting.
Say that again. What was that?
The pennant. We're looking at Paint Your Wagon right now, the town. You said how they're having a bull and bear fight, which is just random. I mean, why the hell would they have a bull and a bear fighting?
I know. It's very interesting. And the whole movie, they're gold mining. And it's very kind of blasphemous towards God. Not that I'm that offended by that, but I also approach religion with respect. But I get a kick out of it. Lee Marvin's character is just hilarious, I think. I really get the humor. And they're talking about Freemasons and there's a scene where the parson comes in, and he talks about, you know, what are these heathens and something from the depths of Babylon, and he's kind of cursing the no-name city for a woman being married to two men, kind of like a reverse Mormon-style marriage. So, yeah, I've really loved this movie my whole life, and I've always gotten a kick out of it. So,
you said that there's an actual connection that they use these lingos, the bull and the bear lingos, in the stock market, though, right? In Wall Street?
Right, absolutely. If you're coming to a part where I'm filming
it shows a bunch of bulls on the town. It's like a documentary or something about this. That's
right, and it just shows another artist who's used bulls and bears in an artistic way to express the stock market. So, and it's kind of chopped up and kind of, I was trying to kind of get it down to a reasonable amount. I felt it was a little too long, so it's kind of chopped up and just kind of going for it, you know, trying to just get the idea across. So, and I wanted to maybe explain a little more, put like maybe something to explain maybe more of the bull and bear symbolism in the stock market, but I thought, you know, I'm just going for it, and this is for people who know more than people who don't, so I just was just letting it be what it is.
So it could be an artistic representation, right? They could be doing it, but I never knew it would be so deep-rooted. I mean, back all the way to 1969 with Paint Your Wagon.
I know. Isn't that interesting? I mean, it's...
What are you thinking, Doug? What's going on in your head over there?
Me?
Doug.
Oh, Doug, I'm looking at Nothing But Trouble. I kind of...
Nothing But Trouble, that's the name of it.
Right, because it's...
Oh, okay.
John Candy and Chevy Chase. I got to get back to my Bulls and Bears. Here we are. But then the thing that I realized as I'm looking for this movie, it says Dan Aykroyd was in an Indiana Jones film in 1984, and I'm like, what?
Temple of Doom. Dan Aykroyd was in Temple of Doom real quick in a plane scene.
Was he?
Yeah, it's a trivial question that I'm very much aware of. There's a scene where Indiana Jones comes out of Club Obi-Wan. He's running and he hops on the plane. And the individual who comes up to him, you never really see his face. You just hear him. He's basically saying stuff like, you know, Dr. Jones, right this way, and puts him on the airplane and then finds out that the airplane is run by the people he was just running from. You guys are familiar with the storyline of Temple of Doom, correct? It's just a quick cameo.
Interesting, and that kind of goes with the whole Crystal Skulls and Indiana Jones and the Crystal Skulls, how he put out the vodka with the Crystal Skulls, too.
Oh, very well done. I didn't even think about that. I like the fact that his daughters were wearing bear shirts.
Yeah, exactly. And I try to add a little humor. So this is kind of, you know, no more thinking about bears. And I try to, you know, come at it where I'm kind of saying that maybe there's something coming. You know, and I'm noticing it in pop culture as well, like recent pop culture, and more so within the last 2 years than actually now. But, I mean, I don't know. Like, I felt more at the time that it was like some sort of Wall Street crash and, you know, this whole economic crisis, but now maybe it was a vibration of the Occupy movement, you know, and it's just hard to say, like, when I start kind of jumping to conclusions and then putting those conclusions in the videos, I have a little bit of regret about that, like, vibrations of the crash. I'd rather have just done something not so trying to say that this is what's going to happen as just pointing it out, so.
Oh, well, you downloaded on September 11th, 2011, you sly bastard.
Yeah. And I put the time at, which was a little bit of a sink itself, because with Windows Movie Player, or whatever it is, Movie Editor, I can't really get specific cuts. So I just kind of got it to 11:09 backwards is 9:11. So I wanted to put a little sink in there for all the people that know. So
it's so funny because right now we have gotten the whole chat room has just been bombarded by this Jew argument right now about the Jewish conspiracy and filthy Jews. And it's so funny because this is what we're talking about. We're talking about the collapse of the stock
market.
Hello?
Yeah.
What's that? We were talking about what I missed. It just cut out at the last second. What was that?
Oh, we were just talking about the stock market and this being on purpose, and it seems that our this is not a Jew argument. It's a Nazi argument. Oh, my God.
Okay, but so it could be, we're talking about the nature. So what's bizarre, to take this a whole another direction, is remember when we talked to Wilner and Jake, and for some reason that was Super Bowl, and Madonna surfaced with this new, like, extreme production of bizarreness. But then Nicki Minaj was with her, and so was M.I.A. But it's this idea of empire and the goddess servicing or representing the empire somehow. So I'm definitely thinking about this. And so I guess Jew or Nazi, it doesn't, you know, I'm thinking in terms of the empire. You know, who is running the show?
Right. But see, that's the thing that bugs the hell out of me is people always turn it off into one word on what's to blame here. And I'm more of the octopus type of conspiracy theory where there's like eight different control systems that are fighting against each other and yet fighting with each other when they have a common enemy or a common goal. That makes more sense to me than just saying it's Jew or it's Illuminati. And me and Alan Abadesa were talking about this last night. It was like, how do you even define what the Illuminati is anymore? It's like this catchphrase that's been on cartoons, it's been on movies, it's been written and rewritten on what it actually means. And now it's to the point where everybody just uses the word Illuminati it's like a blanket term for those in power, but it's so inspecific. Now let's talk a little bit more about the other videos that you've made here. There's a lot of lizards I mean, what do you have to say about lizards, Tim?
I don't, you know, I could tell you a story. I don't know if there's time for it, but as a child, my father would tell me a story. I mean, it would kind of come up when the family would be around the table and everyone's telling ghost stories and, you know, just, you know, out of entertainment. And, you know, I'm not saying my father's the most honorable, you know, never lied in his life. And, you know, he could have been telling a story, but in the early to mid, I'd say mid, late 60s, we'll say late 60s, I believe it was, he had had experience with his cousin where he, they were out with a couple of girls, and they were out on a date, and they were all, you know, doing whatever, drinking beer, doing whatever, and, you know, his cousin had left him with this other girl, and they were, my dad was making out with this girl, I guess he was telling me, and things were happening, and he said he had turned away to take a sip of his beer, and when he looked back, half of her face was the devil. He described it, I think, in a religious context as what he was raised in, as that this was a demon, and he said he got freaked out, he put down his beer, he got up and walked away and got his cousin and said, we have to leave, and kind of had this episode and kind of weirded everybody out. And so I, later on, when you hear a lot of David Icke and the Sumerian and all that stuff, you learn about the Anunnaki and the shape-shifting lizards and reptiles, you know, I mean, it kind of made sense to me. I've since joked around and told him about this and what it could have been, and, you know, and I'm not saying it actually happened. You can take it for what it is, but so it's something that's kind of been with me my whole life, and so it's kind of a joke. You know, I'm not joking, but it just seems that there's weird connections, especially with Val Kilmer being, you know, resonating with that, and, you know, Johnny Depp doing, you know, the Hunter Thompson, and Hunter Thompson, you know, just completely talking about lizards through all his work. You know, I mean, if you've read enough of his books, you've seen it, and so there's that movie, and then he does Rango, where he is the lizard, and that movie I felt was kind of an homage to Hunter. I think in some of the behind-the-scenes footage, you can see him wearing a Gonzo shirt in, like, where he's doing the voiceover work. And then, you know, I kind of display Benicio del Toro and his, you know, relationship with the werewolf or the, you know, the shapeshifter, the dog boy and Pee-wee and, you know, and just all that stuff. So, and then wow. I have more Dennis Quaid and his relationship with the lizard, where he seems to be fighting the lizard and befriending it all at the same time. And
okay,
it's interesting.
How much time have we got left, Doug?
Looks like about 8 minutes.
Well, there's 8 minutes in Dracos and Reptilians. You want to watch that one too, or is there another film that you would like to watch? There's one that's 3 minutes, one that's 2 minutes, and one that's 4 minutes.
How about Val Kilmer? I mean, that one, the first or the second one, The Return of the Lizard King. I mean, that
okay.
kind of gives me a little laugh. So.
Okay, so let's watch Val Kilmer. We're hitting Val Kilmer, Return of the Lizard King on YouTube User Index. And on the count of three, gentlemen, you ready? One.
I'm lagging.
Two. Three. Val Kilmer, Return of the Lizard King.
0-3, 0-4, 0-5.
You can say synchromystic. Look at the career of Val Kilmer. And, of course, he is Jim Morrison. The
right.
Leader.
Right.
And you notice that part in if you've seen The Doors enough, there's a part where he talks about where he's put on a lot of weight, and he says, what's wrong with being a large animal or a mammal? And he says, get fat, do nothing, go nowhere. And, you know, there was a big, you know, everyone, you know, he had his fat phase, if you want to call it, and, you know.
Yeah,
you've seen Val Kilmer. You know, he went through that little stage, too. I thought that was kind of interesting. And actually, after, I seem to, you know, every time I put one of these videos out, I always find more information, like it's a never-ending thing. Like, I could keep making revisions and updates. And after I put this out, I went to just kind of YouTube some Val Kilmer stuff, and there's a biography on Val Kilmer, and he's talking about how he, you know, it's Angelina Jolie that says that he gave her a snake, and she's like, it was a poisonous snake. And then they cut back to him, and he's, how does she know it was poisonous? And I thought that would have been a funny part to put in as well. So, and there's just...
That's great. That's great. Well, they show, what's the movie where they actually show the iguanas that we're looking at right now with Nicolas Cage?
That's Bad Lieutenant, I believe, with Nicolas Cage. And I've got a video I want to make on Nicolas Cage as well, and him being that, you know, the Hell Rider, you know, and the Burning Man. You know, he's got that motorcycle movie where his head's aflame. He's the Burning Man. And if you've seen that movie,
like
Drive Angry, he comes from hell.
There's two movies that seem to be the same movie in my head, but one of them's Val Kilmer and one of them's Nicolas Cage. And it's kind of like this voyeuristic, snuff filmy type 35 millimeter.
Eight millimeter?
Maybe. But there's two movies where Val Kilmer's the star of one and Nicolas Cage is the star of the other.
Okay, all right.
VH1, we're talking about the 1985 Heartthrobs.
Yeah.
What exactly does Paula Abdul say right here?
She says, no cold-hearted snakes, and as the song, he's a cold-hearted snake, look into his eyes, and as she says that, his face comes across the screen, and then she says, no cold-hearted snakes here. After it's all over, she's talking about the teen heartthrob, so. So I...
And these two lizards, when he's talking about the brownies and Willow.
Yeah.
Say that, yeah, and he says, he take these two lizards out and drown them. And your mother was a lizard.
What was that?
What's that?
Oh, I said, out of my way, Peck.
So, yeah, and I mean, I don't know if you noticed that I'm kind of throwing in the movie Thunderheart, where he plays an Oglala Sioux chief, and I believe, forgive me, I'm not completely sure about the definition of Sioux, but I believe it meant snake-like, and so he's a snake-like chief. I believe, I could be wrong on that, but it's something I was going to research further into. And she talks about how, is that a hereditary thing? Or, you know, he says, she says, you know, shapeshift. And he says, well, is that a hereditary thing, or can one take classes? So, and then I figured adding that clip where the brownies say, oh, your mother was a lizard, would that be hereditary, you know, that Val Kilmer's mother was a lizard, hence making him one, too. So, I don't know, I'm just making connections. So.
I see.
And I just like this, the part where, you know, the song plays, and it's just the one-eyed lizard, and it's, you know, it's interesting, you know. I mean, I wonder if the makers of the movie knew, I mean, was that like an homage to him being the Lizard King? Is that an inside joke? I'd love to know. I mean, till then, and I'm making my, you know, I found a lot of this, and if you've watched VH1, I Love the 80s, or any of these, you know, kind of things that VH1 had on I Love the 70s, you find a lot in pop culture back then that relates to now, and it's just, it's insane. Like, I'm actually trying to work on, like, an MKUltra Monarch video, but it's a real sensitive topic, and I've lived in a town called Jordan, which is close to where I live now, which had a huge scandal in the 80s of child molestation. And if you've read any of the books like, you know, by John DeCamp and anything on, like, you know, Paul Benassi and, you know, the kidnapping rings and that whole thing that went to the White House. And I've lived in that town and I've known stories, and it seems to be a – and if you know about Playboy triplets, the Dom triplets, they were, like, one of the only triplets in the Playboy magazine came from the town of Jordan. And if you go to their wiki – it says they were urged to do so by their father, and that just seems strange that a father would encourage his three daughters to get naked together. So, and there's just lots of strange things going on. And I've got, you know, stuff on monarch symbolism. If you've read Kathy O'Brien's book, Transformation of America, I've got some sync stuff from VH1. I Love the 80s things that I think people are going to really be intrigued by, and that's what I'm trying to work on now. But it's just, I'm really busy with some life things right now that are getting in the way, but, you know, you got to live, so.
That's
welcome to
2 minutes.
Oh, go ahead. Doug.
All right, we're done. So, it was fun. Thank you, Tim. This was
absolutely.
It was a new, a good idea, Will.
Thanks, Will.
No problem. We shall talk again soon, okay, Tim?
Absolutely.